So, I'm going to be boring, you're going to be interesting, or you better be. So would you introduce yourselves, please?
Yeah, I'm Luke, I play guitar in the band.
Hi, I'm George, I play drums.
Hi, Dan, I'm Graham, I sing.
Hi, I'm Jed, and I play bass.
Even though you're a really young band, I don't like typical history. So I'll fill in some blanks. I think it was 2011, it was Leeds. You got we'll talk about this a little more. You got an amazing break at a festival when Bat for Lashes couldn't make it, and next thing you know, you're in front of 10,000 people. You've self-released your EP. So I filled in all those blanks. But because you were a young band, there's still a lot of stuff that people don't know.
First time in America for me. It's just so big. Everything's so big.
I'm from a small town near Manchester.
What's it called?
Burnley.
How do you spell it?
B-U-R-N-L-E-Y. Yeah.
McDonald's?
Yeah, it's definitely a McDonald's.
I'm Graham and I grew up in Southport, which is like near Liverpool, but I came to Leeds to make beats because I was really into like Jay Dilla and Madlib and stuff when I got to college. So I never thought I'd be in a band, you know, and then here I am in the Hilton in Austin, which is pretty fun. Yeah, got through college. College, well, yeah, I guess I'd call it college. Just music, in general, yeah, so...
Was it a music school?
Yeah. Well, it's like, yeah, it's a... Could call it a school, yeah, it's just like a college for music, yeah, so... Music college. Most of them, yeah, a few fails, because corrupted files and stuff, you know, it's out of my hands. So, I had some assignments that, you know, everyone does stuff last minute, so I had it done and it was 2 hours till I had to go and hand it in, and I was so trying to like burn it onto a CD and it corrupted, and that was it. Like, and the next day I went in and said like, oh look, it messed up a bit, and then they said, well, it's tough.
So yeah, I'm just gonna chat about where we met, I guess. Like, I met Graham in, I'm Jed, by the way, the bass player. I don't know if people realise who people are here. I met Graham in our halls at uni. Well, I think we realise now that if we had not even thought about the course, we could have had 3 years to write music that we wanted to write. But then I think we decided that the music that we wanted to write was when we finished uni. And then we thought, I wish we had all the time, like 3 years, and like when we didn't actually have to do anything really, because music degrees don't do anything.
Right, I'm Graham, I play guitar, like rhythm guitar, and sing lead singing, so yeah, that's me.
So here's a review, which is posted, and we're going to do a bunch of these, and I'm going to do it in my full announcer voice. Might just be what the next Gen X needs. So you have some pretty heavy responsibility, because you're like medicine.
I don't think we're what they need, but we're what they want, I suppose, yeah. They're going to get us.
You've got to do something with your time, which is what we're doing, you know. So it's like...
Might as well be in a band.
Might as well. It's better than working in an office.
Yeah, I work in a large supermarket in the office, doing admin and data input and price control, that type of stuff, boring stuff.
I just work with a load of women, so it's pretty chilled out, and they just let me do what I want and get the time off to come to Austin, Texas to play a show, you know. And I'll go back next week and it'll just be sound.
Yeah, I work in a trainer shop in Brighton, actually. I don't actually live in Leeds. So basically I sell trainers, then half the week I go up to Leeds, which is about 5 hours, but... That's basically my life at the moment, so...
Wow. If you perceive the press, this is all happening super fast. You have played in front of 10,000 people. Tell me what's really going on. Are there agents in place? Is there a label in place? Are there tour managers in place? Or is it really all that new?
So, basically, we've got our managers who pretty much sort all our shit out for us. And then I think we've got... an agent who books our shows, and there's like a little team working for us, you know, doing stuff for us that we never thought even existed outside of, You know, like when we first started, we had no one, and then all of a sudden we've got like a little team doing stuff for us now. But there's no labels in place, and we're just doing our own music and recording it ourselves. I mean, we've been given a few cards, but I don't reckon there's not really a search for a label. We're just gonna crack on with what we're doing, and then if people want to approach us, that's fine, I guess. But it's new to us, this kind of stuff, so I don't know what the procedure is for that. So we'll just crack on and leave. Yeah, collect cards, see what happens.
So you're making 2-minute hooky pop songs that just happen to be loud and guitar driven, right? And so tell me a little bit, when you got together, aside from you all loved all these great classic records, what did you really say to each other that was going to make this band what this band is and is going to be?
We all met like a couple of years before China Rats actually formed, you know. So we've been writing music together for a while, and we were writing songs that were like, we put loads of thought to him, and it was like, oh, we should do this or that. And it was like, it felt like more of like a chore than actual enjoyment. And then we wrote a song called Take No Prisoners in practice one day, and it just felt like it didn't give a shit about itself. You know, it was like, it was fast and it was fun to play, and it was hooky, and we just enjoyed playing it. So I guess from then on, we were just like, right, well, we'll just mess around and see what comes out of it. If it sounds good, we'll keep it. If it doesn't, scrap it, you know what I mean? There's no point spending hours and hours writing a song. Not at the moment anyway, so.
Our best tunes is when we don't, like you said, Graham, when it's not a chore, where it sort of just comes out, and then when we sort of start thinking about it too much, it's kind of like, oh, that's a bit rubbish, you know what I mean? But at the same time, it's like when we say we don't, things just come out. We do put a lot of thought into it, you know. We want to make it a good tune as well, you know, like, so once the initial thing's there, we think, how do you make this like, the thought process changes a little bit, I think, sometimes.
No synthesizers in the band yet, huh? Oh, yeah. I love that quote. Yeah. right so where's that moment where you're going to turn into like Depeche Mode and Erasure and
oh yeah, two three albums down the line, maybe.
Two or three albums, you'll add the synth player.
Yeah, we'll
get gotta it. Be a girl. It's gotta be a girl. It's gotta be a keyboard about this big, so she can go.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe three albums in. See how long we can push our 2-minute songs, you know.
And then you can start doing long synth riffs in the middle and stuff. And what about the synth drums?
Yeah, the backing track will be in there. You know, the backing vocals layering up, and the stadium tours. You know, it'll all come third album probably.
Okay, I'm just making sure. You gotta get there, you know. You played in the gym of a prison. What kind of gig is that like?
That was incredibly scary to play because we all went there.
They don't like the music, boy.
Well, we went there and we were told it was a woman's prison. I mean, not saying that's any different kind of prison.
Wait, in France?
Yeah, this was in France.
Women? Oh, this is even better. Women's prison in France.
Yeah.
Or France.
But it wasn't a women's prison. It was a men's prison. So we got in there expecting to see all the women.
Prison, didn't they?
They told us it was a women's prison.
Would have been even better if it were the men dressed as women.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it was quite surreal, really, because we got in there and, you know, we went through about 10 different, like, high security locked doors, didn't we? And then we got to a gym and then there's like 50 male prisoners just sat silently.
And I'm sure they were, you know, I mean, they're probably starved for music, but you show up and they're like, okay.
Well, yeah, I mean, it seemed to go down all right. There weren't people dancing or anything. I mean, they were just quite...
Are they allowed to dance?
There was one really enthusiastic guy at the front, wasn't there?
Who
was just like... So I think he was standing up for some of it. Whenever we finished, he was really enthusiastic. The rest of them kind of blank faces. And you didn't know if they just wanted to kill us or like they actually enjoyed it. But to be fair, everyone came up at the end and wanted us to sign their posters, so I think we've got a few China Rats posters in Rennes prison.
Is a proper album in the plans, or are you just going to kind of do singles and EPs and have it then turn into the first album like the Beatles?
Well, yeah, basically, so we're going to do Meet the Rats with the Rats. We've got we're going to bring another EP out start of summer, hopefully. I mean, because we're doing it all on our own at the moment. Like, we've got we've got like loads of songs, but we're just working out what to do with them at the moment. So we'll probably do another EP and then hopefully get the album out this year at some point, end of the year, first album, and then start thinking about the second, see what happens.
And now that you don't have the uni stuff, I mean, are you going to bring in a producer, or are you totally planning on self-produced? What do you want it to be?
Well, so the first EP, and we've brought out a track called Kids Are Getting Fed, and we self-produced all of that. Jed at the mixing desk, and we go to a studio in a place called Castleford, and we're good mates with the guy there, and he lets us use it free. So it's pretty kosher, you know, it's good for us to do. And then we've done Nip It In The Bud, another track called No Money. Well, we went to London to do that. I mean, the first time we've ever worked with a producer, and we basically just wanted like an outsider's view of what to, you know, well, we know what we want to sound like, but it's getting it like we're producing it, but it still sounds a bit tame. We want like raw energy in it, you know what I mean? We want it to sound like we sound live. So we're working with other people to see if we can achieve that.
Tell me about being big, and if that's something that you're kind of like, do you visualize it and do you want it? Because some bands don't.
I want it. Why not? You know, it might as well be the biggest and the best. That's my opinion anyway. I don't know about the rest of the guys.
Yeah, I think the same thing. I think we're working really hard, so why not? If in a few years we can be massive, great. If not, then great. As long as we can ditch the day jobs, I'm not really bothered.
Well, it'd be nice to be worth millions of pounds, you know, but I think like once you get to that stage, like, you lose touch with reality probably, don't you? And the music's going to change then. So I mean, it's the dream, isn't it, to be the big rock and roll star? But if it's going to change the way we work and the style of our sound, then it's not for the better, is it? So as long as we can be sustainable and support ourselves and people enjoy the music, then I'd be happy with that.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich, and it's two of your songs as the bread, and then songs by anybody else you want to play in between.